podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
We are live. Good morning, everybody. It's international break, but this is where it starts to get serious. We're counting down already to the game week deadline. I'm Gianni Battici, and I'm joined by an FPL winner himself, Ali Yahangirov. How are you, mate?
I'm doing great. It's been a good break, I believe. Good break from FPL. Not like we need one. We enjoy the game. But sometimes you need a couple of days of rest before, you know, we get into, you know, analyzing, doing our research and making our transfers.
Yeah, 100%. That game week 13 deadline, it was nice to have a kind of two-week countdown to it. It comes on Saturday, the 25th of November, of course. So we're recording this 6 days ahead of the deadline. And for many in the international break, week one is chill, forget about FPL for a week. Maybe enjoy some international football, though isn't a huge amount to enjoy at the moment. And then week two is kind of get back into thinking of FPL. Now, many will have two free transfers, especially those that wildcarded in game week 10, like myself. But it's also a good kind of point in the season. Any international break, I like to do this, take stock and just kind of review best attacks, best defences, because we often go off historical stuff and we go, oh, the best attack in the league's Man City and the best defence is Man City. And yeah, there's a couple of others that we just know will be in and around that. But actually, when we look at some of the underlying numbers, and you can use the Fantasy Football Scout members area for this, you go, ah, we need to now consider Aston Villa. Or we need to consider whoever, because their data is way better than we might think. So I think we should have a quick stock check, Ali. Do you want to start with attackers or defenders in terms of teams?
Let's start with attackers because they're more exciting, I believe.
Yeah, they are more exciting. So what we're going to show you here is the 10 best attacking teams in the league. Now, we simply do this from goals scored, sure, but let's also have a look at their XG as well. And I can see in the chat, hello to everyone, FPL. Freddie's with us, Jamie and Torben, Ahmed, Heather. Good morning to you all. Torben does say rumours of a Haaland injury. Just want to put that one straight. He's missing the Scotland game, but I think he'll be fine for Liverpool. In the international break, we always see these international injuries. So sure, he might have a niggle, but he will miss the meaningless international game and make sure he's there for Man City's biggest game of the season. Don't you worry about that. So what do you think, Ali, when we look at this, these numbers? Like, top of the charts, we obviously expect there to be Man City fairly high, and they are when you look at goals scored, 32. But on the right hand side, we can see the XG open play, and actually City aren't top. City are sitting there in third. So above City, you'd have Liverpool at one, Villa at two, Man City at three. Oh, actually, no, Chelsea are above Man City as well for XG. So Man City would be around fourth. But if we just look pure unadulterated goals, that's what we're most interested in. They're Man City 32. They've let no one down this season, have they?
Yeah, the fact that Chelsea are above Man City in terms of expected goals, I think that clearly says that they don't have a prolific goal scorer, and Jackson hasn't been really pulling strings when we all were hoping for. but I think Chelsea in recent games, I believe they've improved a lot, and the top of the chart is City, Aston Villa. Aston Villa, thanks to their home form, because they've been smashing in goals left, right and center. And I mean, their away form is good as well, is decent, but not like at home. They always score three or more goals at home. And it's quite interesting that they're up there with the top four, top six of the best teams in the country. So it's interesting. We expect to see Liverpool up there, as well as Newcastle and Arsenal. But basically, yeah, Nothing is surprising apart from Aston Villa. And Aston Villa being up there with the second highest goal scored, I think it's a little bit of an overachievement in my terms, because I don't think they can maintain it for the season running. And I think the home form will dip for them, because even though expected goals are there, it's just my personal opinion that they cannot keep scoring three or four goals every week they play at home. What do you think about their attack?
Who's that? Aston Villa?
Yeah.
I mean, you nailed it with the home form thing. Like, I saw a few looking at, say, Ollie Watkins, captain, in certain weeks, I don't hate it for when he's at home, but when Aston Villa are on the road, they're just not reliable at all. So can they continue their home form? Maybe. But when you look at the next fixtures coming up for Villa at home, don't they play a couple of the big boys at home? So again, I look at the fixtures to date and think maybe they've just had quite good fixtures on paper, because the next two home games are Man City and Arsenal. So maybe the data looks slightly different after the next four game weeks. They have Spurs and Bournemouth away, Man City and Arsenal at home. Ollie Watkins is an interesting one, though, because he's in pretty much every team. Like, he's in 46%. I'd say probably 80, 90% of those watching right now or listening on the pod are Watkins owners. So my question, I guess, to you, Ali, and to many out there, let us know what you think in the chat. What are your plans with Watkins? Like, hold him for Spurs away, maybe hold him for Bournemouth away. But if you jump from, say, a Watkins to a Darwin in game week 14, you get Spurs away for Watkins this week when Darwin plays Man City away. But then from 14 onwards, Darwin has Fulham at home, Sheffield United away, Palace away. Whilst Ollie Watkins has Bournemouth away, but then Man City and Arsenal. Do you make that switch? Is that, I think that would be a really popular and obvious switch for many. Or do you just hold Watkins through the festive period knowing he's a 90-minute man and Villa are a great attack?
In my case, I'm planning to move him on because I think Aston Villa midfielders offer better value for their price tag, because watching them play, I mean, there is a lot coming into the... When they're attacked, there's a second wave of, attack from the midfield, like from the likes of McGinn, Diaby. Even when the subs come in, they do quite well. And I think for the price tag, if you want to look elsewhere, and Darwin is up there with his XG and the good fixtures as well, I might even move there even earlier this game week, because I don't think it justifies the 8 million. I think it's 8.3 or 4 at the moment. It's quite expensive, and I have two transfers. We'll get into my team later on, but it depends on what kind of manager you are. I don't see, watching Aston Villa play, I don't see many moments coming to Watkins. I mean, he needs three or four clear-cut chances to score one goal. He's missed a big chance as well. I think he's underperformed on his XG last game week as well. So I'm not a big Watkins fan. All of my FPL friends are just, always praising him. And I don't think he's got that ceiling. I've been saying that for a while, but sometimes one in three or four game week he will deliver big points, but sometimes it's not enough.
Yeah, remember, he's not on penalties. And when you say about missing big chances, I don't think anyone has missed more big chances than Ollie Watkins this season. It's something like 12 big chances missed from 13 or 14 opportunities. Like, it's huge. What's interesting for many, if they may be happy to sell Watkins, because they've already, say, got a Diaby. I can see a couple in the chat. Heather's got a Diaby from game week one. And maybe that's a way of covering some of those Watkins points. I myself own Diaby and Watkins. I still haven't decided which one I'm letting go of in the next couple of weeks. I think there's a chance they both play the Spurs game for me. But then off the back of that, I do want Darwin in my team. And so it's probably Watkins that has to go. I guess for some, and let's talk a little bit about Watkins before we have a look again at this attacking data. Darwin plays Man City, first game off the international break. Historically, Klopp rests his South Americans off the back of the international break when they are the first kickoff. Now, the first kickoff yet again, which Klopp will be very angry about, he's been pretty vocal about this in the past. It's all because of TV scheduling. Now, with that in mind, does Darwin, who has been playing really well for Liverpool and clearly now their obvious first choice number nine, this time round against Man City, does he buck the trend, Klopp, and actually start Darwin, who, by the way, scored a brilliant goal for Bielsa's Uruguay against Brazil in the week? What do you reckon, Ali? Does he start this time out?
I think the fact that they have really good attacking depth in their team, with Jota, with Hakpo back in the team. I mean, the last time around, I think Hakpo was just coming back from his injury, and that was the main question why we were quite confident that Darwin would start. But I think this time around, I don't think Klopp has a issue playing Hakpo up front, even Jota. I think Diaz and Darwin coming back from afar. But I believe this is the thing when I would happily go for Darwin. But for me, it's a if you don't have him, you can wait for 1 week. Especially it's probably the toughest fixture of the season, City away. But I think that fixture has goals. So if he starts, he's got a good chance of delivering.
Yeah, big team versus big team doesn't mean sell them for FPL. It could sometimes mean, if the fixtures are right, goals. Look at Man City Chelsea. Who saw 8 goals in that one? Look at Spurs Chelsea, 5 goals in that one. Like, big team versus big team, and Liverpool versus City, both two brilliant attacks. I'm with you, Ali. I think there could be goals. And I think there'll be some that still go, I'm captaining Haaland this game week because it's Haaland and he's at home. And I see goals. So, yeah, let's have a look at some of the other attacking teams on this list. You can see column one is goals. Column two is the open play goals. And then the open play expected goals. One team really low here, heavily relying on goals from set pieces or from penalties, is Arsenal. Like, 12 open play goals all season. The lowest on this list, this is the top 10. Their XG as well, their bang on, is 12.27 for open play goals. They have notched 26, and we've seen a lot of goals from corners, from penalties. But Arsenal in open play definitely do not justify the double up. And so many managers at times this season have had an Arsenal double up. I started game week one, I think, with two Arsenal attackers. At the moment, Ali, Saka alone is just enough. But is Saka still a long-term hold? Because his data's massively dipped. And Saka is like, this isn't Martinelli. We're talking about an 8.5-ish million player. He's not cheap.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I've mentioned in one of the, I think in one of the streams of yours that I don't think any of the Arsenal players are must own at the moment, because I don't think they're generating enough chances to score. And in a team that goals are well spread around the players, I think it's tough to nail the one that would score. The Champions League games, I think, play a good role in it as well, because it's hard to predict which player will score in the Champions League or in the Premier League, because you pick them and then go and score in the midweek game against PSG or some other teams. I mean, it's tough at the moment with Arsenal, because we don't have a clear-cut player that will, you know, generate all the points. And I don't think going without Saka is, especially when he's always not fully fit. I'm not surprised seeing the stats of open play goals, because even watching them play, you don't see them having clear-cut chances every game week. The ones they create, they score, most of them, and this pretty much tells the whole story. And the numbers of XG and open play XG, they really tell the whole story.
Yeah. Big Chief in the chat says, what about Arsenal defence? Still a hold? Yeah, absolutely, Big Chief. We'll look at the defensive data in a minute. And then coming up, we have got Ali's team ahead of game week 13, still to make his transfers, but we'll have a look at his early thoughts. Just to finish on the attacking teams, 9th and 10th in this chart. Sorry, Sam Williams says, I can't see Gianni the same way after seeing his natural hairstyle in the last Q&A. I jumped on and did a stream with Az when I was just about to leave Miami for the airport on Friday, and I came straight out the shower and then jumped on with Az. So I had my hair completely just off the back of the shower, and the chat went crazy for my haircut in a negative way. It was comments like, he looks like Donald Trump, and very One Direction. And yeah, how Donald Trump and One Direction came in the same conversation, I don't know. But yeah, the hair is back up today. But look, 9th and 10th in the chart, Ali, West Ham and Brentford. There's a clear big name player at each of these teams. On the radar of many is Jared Bowen. Perhaps on the radar of even more is Mbomo. If you're only going to go to one of those midfielders, and I'm buying one probably next week, I'll let you know which one I'm buying after your answer, Ali. Which one would you go to? Mbomo or Bowen?
I like Bowen more. simply because he's the main. I mean, Mbeumo is the main man at Brentford as well. But I dislike inconsistency of Brentford more than West Ham's. Mm, if I make myself clear, because both teams are quite inconsistent in terms of their performances. Sometimes I think West Ham lost to Everton at home, which was unexpected. And sometimes when you hope that they will deliver, but I like Bowen more. And the fact that he's got good fixtures, yeah, you could say that Brentford has good fixtures as well, but I like Bowen more. And I'm thinking to go for him, maybe instead of Foden in my team. And with Mbeumo, I think I've missed the train there, and I haven't owned him this season.
Nor me. Neither of us have, which cost us early on, didn't it? Because do you remember the first few weeks of the season, it really cost us. And then when many content creators did then decide to jump on Mbeumo, it was too late. And he did. He went on a bit of a dry spell. But yes, he's got Arsenal this week. Game week 14, 15, 16, 17, before he blanks in 18, read Luton at home, Brighton away, Sheffield United away, Villa at home. Then it is a blank, but then off the back of the blank, we'll hope to see a double a couple of weeks later. It's for that reason I prefer Mbeumo to Bowen, I think. But yeah, but it's a tight one. And look, there's an argument to say go both and drop a Saka, you know, by the way that, you know, Saka's playing. That's the attack, Ali. Let's have a look at the defence and then see your team. I think you're probably right in terms of no massive surprises in attack, other than Arsenal underwhelmed a little bit. Chelsea probably need a little bit more attention, and many of us will go towards Palmer. Brighton are always going to put up good numbers, but is there an individual at Brighton that puts up the really good numbers? I'm not so sure I'll be keeping Matoma past this game week. What about defence, Ali? What are the headlines here?
Just on Brighton, I think they still haven't kept a clean sheet yet. It's interesting how good a team can be and good attacking wise, and out of 11 opening fixtures, which some of them were very very not very very but they were, you know, relatively easy to say in terms of defense, but they've still managed to concede in every single of them. Shots conceded. it's interesting to see Arsenal in it because they've I think it's goals conceded the first. They have the least goals conceded together with Liverpool.
Yeah, I filtered it from goals conceded. Okay. But then we get to see some of those shots and on target as well. Like the Arsenal on target number is scary low. 27 shots on target against them.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's very good. And it's basically they have the most clean sheets together with Newcastle as well. Had they not conceded the last game week, I think Newcastle, they were still leading it because I've checked the stats before game week 11, before game week 12, and Arsenal was leading as well. So it's no surprise as well with Arsenal, City, Liverpool, and Newcastle being up there. We know that they're the best defenses. Spurs in the beginning of the campaign, they were not that solid at the back, but I think they've found their rhythm, and in some of the games they managed to... I keep really, really solid at the back. But having no starting defenders, I think, at the moment. No one apart from Porro, I believe. Their starting back four is... most of them are injured. I think Romero is... Romero and Udogie are suspended, I believe.
Yeah, Udogie, I think, only missed one game, so he should be back. But Romero was three. And then, obviously, Van der Ven is out to the new year. So, big, big gaps at centre-back.
So that might affect their defensive output, but I think as a team, there's still a case to be had when you talk about Porro or Udogie because they're super attacking. Their assist potential is up there. But in terms of clean sheets, I mean, Arsenal backline is solid as a rock. I myself have Gabriel and I don't intend to sell him in the nearest future. When you look at Liverpool back four, I mean, Tsimikas is up there. A lot of us have him, and we're burned. Those who kept him on the bench, I think, were really, really, really unlucky because It was right after him getting benched in a Premier League game. We thought that that's something that, you know, could continue. But with a clean sheet and a couple of assists in his locker, I think Liverpool, if you look at Liverpool defenders at the moment, Tsimikas is up there. City defense is obvious. I mean, they've only conceded 12 goals, I believe. Yeah. So Newcastle, City, that's the four teams that we expect to keep clean sheets when they play relatively easier positions.
Yeah, I reckon that like Arsenal, City, Newcastle, no surprises. But Liverpool in there at second in terms of goals conceded, they're level with Arsenal. They haven't conceded too many shots there on target, 47. Quite a few off target in terms of total at 154 Liverpool. But they're a top tier defence, and that's why Tsimikas is such a good pick, because we know the attacking threat with his 15-pointer last game week, but they'll pick up clean sheets too, Liverpool. And if there was another nailed defender there around the 5 million mark that was Konate or Matip, who are both, I think, 4.9, but if Konate or Matip played every week and were reliable for starts, I think as a set-and-forget 5 million asset, they'd be a good pick, because it's like, you know you're going to get clean sheets with Liverpool, but you just don't want to spend the Trent or the Van Dijk money. Outside of those top teams, Crystal Palace are high, which is why so many went towards a Crystal Palace defender. They've kept 5 clean sheets this season. That's as many as Arsenal and Newcastle. The ceiling is low with Palace. We know that. But in the good fixtures, they're fairly predictable. The ones you expect them to be close to keeping a clean sheet or to keep a clean sheet, they do. Man United in the top 10. If you're shopping for a cheap defender because you're selling, say, Matty Cash and you want more money in your team, and there are many Matty Cash sellers out there, and perhaps you have already got an Arsenal defender and you don't want a second, and you can't get to a Man City defender, and you've got Tsimikas and you've got Lascelles, I'm talking about myself here, maybe you sell a Matty Cash to a Man United defender called Harry Maguire, because Maguire's numbers aren't too bad. There's attacking threat from set plays. I don't think United are going to score many, but I do see clean sheets. And when we look at the numbers for United, despite a bad start to the season, which many might say, you get 4.3 million Maguire, who's nailed at the moment, might not be after from January onwards when Martinez is due back. But until then, the fixtures are middling. Everton away, Newcastle away, Chelsea at home. Not sure I see clean sheets in those three. Maybe Everton away. 16, they've got Bournemouth at home. Yeah, okay. So it's all right. Middling fixtures for them. What do you reckon to picking up, say, a Man United defender? Or would you go with, I think I saw Sam in the chat mentioning Forest defence, that good right up high there for the defensive ticker. Would you consider a Nottingham Forest defender like Toffolo, for example, or someone like a Maguire? For me, it's a Maguire.
For me as well, it's a Maguire, because United have conceded most of the shots conceded, I believe. It's 168. It's a lot of shots to concede in opening 12 games. And 60 of them were on target. And they have conceded 16 goals out of them. So it's the stats aren't there. But as a team, they've had a poor start. So having a poor start, but still managing to get 4 clean sheets out of all of the out of 12 games is not bad. So the fact that clean sheets are there, but they concede a lot when they do. I mean, there are teams that Man City and Liverpool or Arsenal, when they play, they can be up 3-0 or 4-0 and they still concede. And but United, when they lose, I think they lose more than 2-0 or 3-0. That means that we've seen this season. I think when they lose the game, they concede more than 2 goals. And it's that's probably why their stats are bad. But for clean sheets, for clean sheets, when you look at Maguire, I think he has a good attacking potential as well. It's hard to call the odd set piece header or something, but it's always in his locker. We know him. He hasn't done well in the last couple of seasons for Manchester United, but I think there's a good potential. And I would pick him if I had to pick between Forest defenders.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. Guys, we're going to see Ali's team in a minute. If you want to see it, do hit that like button. I'd love us to get to 100 likes when we're still live. Villa. We've all gone there. Like, we all praise Villa, both in attack and defence, but only two clean sheets, not brilliant numbers. Matty Cash is a sell for me. Matty Cash, by the way, does play super high and super wide, often in away from home games. So when he's got like the likes of Man City at home coming up, like, you expect, I think, him to be pretty deep. And I don't think the attacking threat is massively there. Although against Spurs and Bournemouth in the next two, maybe it is. Thank you guys for hitting the like button. That's awesome. Let's have a look, Ali, at your team, shall we? What are your thoughts? You mentioned you got two free transfers.
Before moving to my team, I want to ask you about Chelsea defence.
Go on then.
And the topic that will be really popular, Reece James, yeah. What do you think about it?
Do you know, I nearly mentioned Reece, and I was like, is it too early? But it's not too early, and you're right to question me on it, because Chelsea aren't playing in Europe, and that's massive for Reece James. Like, Reece can't afford to be playing twice a week. And over the festive period, when Chelsea do have a couple of weeks where they're playing midweek, expect him to get 60 or to be rested completely and maybe get 30 off the bench if he's needed. He is Chelsea's best player. Like, forget positions. He's Chelsea's best player. And even when he's out injured for ages, he comes back, and in the first game week or game two or three, he comes back and he's Chelsea's best player again. Like, he is short of match fitness, and he isn't at 100%. And even at that level, he's head and shoulders. Against Man City, I thought he was superb. He'll get attacking returns for fun. Even his free kick against Man City, like, nearly finds the top corner. Great save. Or was it off the bar? I can't remember. Reece James has never been so cheap. I think he's around 5.3. And again, if you're looking to sell Matty Cash and you don't need the money and you can afford it, Cash to James. Chelsea's fixtures from game week 16 are so, so good. So, yes, people will buy him and say, or not buy him because he's just going to get injured again. Well, he's only injured when he's injured. And when he's injured, you get something called a free transfer every week. And you use your free transfer to sell Reece James when he gets injured. But until that happens, this time he's had a proper rehab. He's had eased back into the team very slowly. He's even missed and written himself out of the England squad this break, because he was like, I need to be on my own rehab plan, and playing for England isn't going to help me. So he's at risk of not being picked by Gareth for the Euros. There's only one more squad till the, is it the Euros or the World Cup? The World Cup. So with all that in mind, I would just go, if you can afford him and you're looking for a defender around that price point, go to Reece. Definitely a buy around game week 16.
It's interesting because I've watched the game he got back from injury. I think it was a cup game. Like, in 10 or 15 minutes cameo, he had two or three shots on goal. He hit the post, and it was just electric. And that's why, especially at times when we don't have a lot of good defenders that would score us, you know, 12 or 13 point holes on a consistent basis. And we know that Reece James can well deliver that. It's interesting because I'm thinking to go from Cash to Reece James as well. So we'll see.
I think I'm with you there, mate. I think I'm with you. Tell me about your team. Two transfers. A lot of options here.
Yeah, for the podcast listeners, I'll just go through every single one of them. Ariola in goal, Cash, Gehi, Gabriel, Foden, Adingra, Son, Salah, Martinelli, Watkins and Haaland up front. And on my bench, I have Tsimikas, Archer, Taylor with Turner. So, with two free transfers, Foden always scores against Liverpool.
Yeah, he loves that fixture. Yeah, and he's playing so well.
He's playing so well, but I've been unlucky with him because every time I, you know, got him this season, I, you know, came into a decision, conclusion to, you know, sell him and never play with him. But once the good fixture hit again for City, you know you want another asset rather than Haaland. And Foden is by far, for me, is someone that, you know, can always explode. And when he does well, I think he keeps his place. I have two or three differentials in my midfield that I have to, you know, move around and think. It's Adingra. I think he scored a worldie for Cote d'Ivoire.
He did, yeah. Although I thought the keeper should have saved it.
Yeah, it was quite in the middle, but it was a hard, shot.
Great effort. Yeah, he's flying as well. He's flying, because I know in the Premier League he just got your points, but The game before that against Ajax, he was superb. Goal and an assist. Brighton actually did keep a clean sheet, I think, in that one. But Odingra is flying at the moment.
Yeah, so he's a keep for me. Martinelli scored for Brazil, his first international goal.
Ah, did he?
Yeah, he did. I think they have a lot of absentees, the Brazil team, but with Vinicius Jr. out, and he scored his first international goal. In this team, I think I'll have to reconsider my defense, maybe a goalkeeper transfer, because I don't like my defense right now. I don't see many. You know, Gabriel is fine. I think Gehi is a good first bench option. Against Luton, I don't think Crystal Palace will keep a clean sheet because Luton is a fairly attacking team, and at home, you can bet on them scoring. Cash against Spurs.
What are you planning to do with Cash?
You can only hope for maybe assist points or something, because I back Spurs in that fixture, and I don't think Cash will keep a clean sheet, that's for sure. But going forward, I think it's a fixture that, you know, promises goals as well. So why not Cash for it? So it's a tough decision for me at the moment, because that was a plan. I had to roll, and right after international break, I wanted to have two or three transfers made to, you know, change my team a little bit. But Watkins is one of the options I want to maybe consider getting rid of.
Yeah, Watkins to Darwin looks on for many, whether it happens this week or next, or even the week after, I'm not so sure. Liverpool, it is interesting. From game week, whilst we already want Darwin from game week 14, because the fixture's there, I think he plays Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. It's three Premier League games for Darwin in the space of 6 days, in 14, 15 and 16. And I look at those three and just go, he's definitely not starting all of them. Like, there's no, like, he just won't. So, but does that matter? Does two starts and a 30-minute cameo still get you huge points, given the fixtures, probably, like, starting with Fulham at home? It's a really good fixture. So I'm also very tempted on Darwin. I want to figure out how I'm going to get Reece James in. And Bomo's big on my list. Bowen is possibly bigger on Ali's. But yeah, you're looking good there, mate. Looking very good. Well, I look forward to seeing your team closer to the deadline. No doubt you'll be chatting about that on Twitter. So make sure you're following FPL Guns. That is at Ali on social media platforms. I look forward to seeing if you do make a goalkeeper transfer. I'm still think Raya might be the pick, despite not playing very well. If Arteta keeps Raya as number one, then with the Arsenal backline at 4.8, I think he is, or did he go up to 4.9? He's a very, very good pick. But any final thoughts with you on captaincy, Ali? Because at the moment, you've got the armband on Haaland. Do you think you'll stay there? Would you consider Son? Or at the moment, your vice is on Salah?
I think Haaland is a good captaincy call this game week, because most of the most of the fixtures are tough for the teams that we are loaded on with their players. Maybe Son against Villa, maybe Haaland, but Son is coming back from the you know, international duty as well, and I think some of the reports said that he's carrying an injury or a knock or something.
Yeah, he did go down, but then he was seen doing a lap of honour after the game and seemed fine. But yeah, you never quite know with Son, because he does pick up those knocks. But he is playing against a very high line. Aston Villa line is suicidally high, isn't it?
It is, and it's knowing how Unai Emery loves to play, I think it suits Son's style of play. Yeah. I don't mind having other Spurs attackers like Johnson, because he's fairly cheap, and Kulusevski, if you have a good if you want a good differentials, I think Johnson is a nice one there, because he's classified as a midfielder, and he's a starter as long as some of the other Spurs attackers are absent, like Madison. I think Richarlison is injured as well, so there's a case to talk about when you look at Spurs attack at the moment.
Yeah, there is. Okay, I look forward to seeing what ends up with your captaincy, your transfers. So many questions still this week. Guys, make sure you're following Fantasy Football Scout throughout the week. for loads of content, like streaming every day. Ali, as I mentioned, will be posting his team on social. I'll also be posting my team on my team selection video on my YouTube channel. This used to be something you'd see on the Scout channel. Now I partnered with Scout on my own channel. So do check out my channel if you want to see my team in a couple of days' time. I've just put a comment in the chat so you can see my handle. Guys, if you could like the stream, that'd be amazing. I wanted to get to 100 by the end. Hit the like button on your way out. If you're just joining, go back and watch the last 40 minutes. But for now, Ali, I'll say goodbye. I'll see you next Sunday, mate.
See you next Sunday. Have a good one.
See you guys.